Hi, I'm Soraya Mia, and this is It's About Youth. Mental health is so often talked about, but the issue is not taken seriously enough by some people. Now, on the bright side, the government and some state governments have put in the effort through its initiatives to help those struggling with mental health, as well as raise more awareness. But is this enough to eradicate the stigma surrounding mental health? Let me introduce you to the guests of today, the one and only Farah Ann Abdul Hadi, the former Malaysian artistic gymnast and 2020 Tokyo Olympian, yes, as well as a mental health advocate. And our second guest of the day is Dr. Muhammad Farhan Rusli, who is a member of the Selangor Public Health Advisory Council. Thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
So let's begin the conversation about mental health, but more specifically to tackle or to eradicate the stigma behind mental health with Farah Ann. According to your experience, what do you think about the state of mental health in Malaysia? How do you think, you know, the general public look at mental health per se?
I think that the general public, there is more awareness about mental health. I think in regards to youth, there is more awareness, but I think the issue that needs to be tackled is more like the elderly, the older people, because I think the stigma still lies in them. But the youth themselves, there is, even if I talk to my friends or my colleagues, they really think about mental health and taking those mental health days. But obviously there's still an issue regarding how to deal with that. So I think there's like double-sided where, yes, there is, as you said, there is an issue, but is it really being tackled in the best way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And touching on what Farah Ann said, interesting that she uses the word youth and kids. So we see kids as low as 9 having mental health issues, 12, 14, 16, especially those in school. But why are these age, why I pick saying these ages, because you have to understand that, especially to kids below 18, or even those up until 21, they're still under their parents, they're still living in the same household. So they may understand that I may have a problem, there's an issue, I probably learnt it from TikTok because I'm feeling the signs and symptoms that's been mm-hmm. shown to me. But if the parents do not take those initiatives to bring the kids and seek for help, as much as the kids demand it or want it, so the parents now have to be able to understand that my kid needs help. So as much as we want to tackle the youth issues for mental health for these children and for this youth population, we must also not neglect the people who are actually responsible to bring these people to attention.
Yeah. I like both of your points combined. You know, when we talk about the awareness, it's not to say Malaysia lacks awareness, like you said, you know, among the youth and maybe the younger generations are more aware of mental health. However, there is still lack of awareness among the elder generations. Mm-hmm. So now with this problem, what do you think could be done, you know, to tackle the lack of awareness?
I think it's also in different sectors. For example, I'm in the sports sector, and it's very common for athletes to actually receive help. Where even for me, I had a psychologist that helped me through like trainings, but it's very much geared towards sports performance. And that was the priority. And then only, okay, if you have other issues like stress, and that is related. So I think the issue now is to kind of break up to saying that like it can be combined mm-hmm. and more initiatives. There are initiatives, but I think it's more bringing it to the public and also being able to access mm-hmm. those, the help to be able to access, because going for like a psychologist or psychiatrist or having that access can be quite costly. And I think that is one of the issues that needs to be tackled and to bring awareness to people. How should they go about it?
Mm-hmm. So when you talk about costs as well as combining the efforts not only in sports organizations
yeah.
but also perhaps in the education sector, yes. maybe you'd like to add on this.
Yes.
So well, I think I have to speak about it overall. I think Farah Ann was quite blessed to have those kind of yeah. access. Mm-hmm. So one of the issues that we saw at state, especially in Selangor, we saw that there would be enough penetration of smartphones and all these things through to the youth, but do we have the right platform for them to be able to access it? Mm-hmm. So spearheaded by Dr. Adil from IUM, we managed to actually encompass the entirety of a mental health platform to be accessible, well, to be honest, it's not only for Selangorians, it's open for everyone to come in and to use it. Of course, our main target are those populations, but right now they have it at their fingertips because we understood that because of a lot of the taboo that's coming in, people don't ask you.
Yeah.
Or if you want to talk about it, or if you want to mention it, people will say, I think there's something wrong with you, you shouldn't talk about this, you shouldn't come to me. Even some of the parents will say, I think we were just talking about it just now, that this is perhaps you're not praying enough, you know, you're not close to God. That's why all these things are developing in your brain, all these things. So we wanted to break that barrier to access. So not everybody will get the chance, Farah, to get access, you know, to have very good mental strength. So this type of initiatives that's being done by state is something that I hope will be replicated more on a national level, and I hope it grows. Yeah.
Yes. Actually, Selangor State, when they brought me involved, actually, I'm one of the ambassadors, to have that app, to be able to have that access in hand, because sometimes it is very difficult for people to tell other people, as you said, because of the stigma, because they're afraid. But if they're able to do it on their own and have that access to be able to understand what is happening to them and know that there is a process for them to help get better, that there is help and it's at their fingertips, it's very easy to be able, and everyone has a smartphone right now, it's very easy to be like, hey, I actually can get help and I can actually get through this. So it really does break the barriers and the boundaries that people that don't have access to suddenly now are able to get that access.
I think, and sorry, that big niche or that small area that we always miss is, we have helplines, we have befrienders, we have all these other call centers that we can access, right? But sometimes, if we try to ask ourselves, do I have a mental health issue, most of us will tell ourselves, no, I don't. You know, this is part and parcel of growing up, of adulting, especially for youth. This is what everybody has gone through. My parents went through this, so I have to go through the same sort of rite of passage, for example. But what if we were able to actually self-assess ourselves through those apps so that you don't actually need to ask yourself that question anymore? You go through those modules and then it tells you, I think you have a problem. You may need help. So then it gives you a reassurance that, yeah, I think I do need help. You know, I can't be telling myself that I'm okay because this well-established assessments are telling me that I'm not. So now I'll be able to look for it. So those are the kind of things that where we can put technology to good use. We have to really embark on what the youth have access to and maximize what they have so that we can actually bring good to them. And in the end, people will start talking about mental health as though it's like the cough and cold, you know? Everybody has no stigma around it.
Exactly. That's a very interesting point where you point out, you know, that it's very easily accessible, and that will also play its role to raise more awareness, as well as tackling the taboo around mental health. But more on, you know, the stigma and the taboo, where do you see it going towards, you know, from now, you know, in Malaysia? Do you think initiatives by governments could actually eradicate that?
I think that it's a process because when we talk about information, I mean, the government initiatives like states, they have a lot of power, and we talk, and power is what is necessary to change, because when you can actually generate a lot of information everywhere, then that will be able, people will be able to gain access to that information, and with that, the ability to spread awareness really does increase. Because if you're just one person shouting, it's hard. But if you have a whole group of you together shouting, then you will be heard. And I think that it does, you need people at the forefront fighting, because with anything, with any issues, even if you talk about like women voting, what, back in the 1800s, women were unable to vote, but then because of all the noise that they were making, it's the same thing with mental health, that you just need people to break down those boundaries. And I think government plays a very pivotal role in allowing for that access.
Speaking more about roles of governments, you know, like what both of you have mentioned, the Selangor State government has done is perhaps a great, great step forward. And then now we also hear for the Johor budget, they're also, you know, following suit in terms of raising more awareness or more initiatives to tackle mental health. But Dr. Farhad, do you think that there are, you know, other ways that the government can play a role to address mental health challenges among the youth?
Well, I think the federal government has taken the right step. I think the Prime Minister recently announced that he is building the Institute for Mental Health. So I think that's the key important here, is that the federal government may build infrastructures and get it ready, where the state governments play a complementary role. What's important is for the state governments to bridge this gap of getting the people into the system. Mm. So I think Farhan mentioned the word awareness multiple times. And I think that's the key takeaway here, that the state government's role, most of them are supposed to create this sort of pathways and make people understand that this is where you should go if you have A, this is what I can do for you if you have B. So the state governments must shout louder, they must interact more, because you cannot expect the federal government to go down to the root or all the people, all the villages. This is the job of the state governments. That's why we have two levels of government, right? Or multiple levels of government. But that's the bridging gap that we need to see. And I think one more important thing that I think we need to really, really focus on is, as much as we build infrastructure, we must also build on the human capital. So we may have the best institute in the world later, but if we don't have the right proper specialists, the right proper specializations for people to be working inside there, it's also going to be disheartening for a unit to be another white elephant project, right? Mm-hmm. So we want it to function well, both in infrastructure as well as in the service front. So I think those steps need to be tackled by both the federal and state governments. Yeah.
Adding on to that, I think it's really important that you said you need the human capital. Mm-hmm. Because now with social media, yes, you can raise awareness, but you need proper doctors, experts to be on the topic, because you can get wrong information so easily right now. Mm-hmm. So that's why doctors, specialists need to really come in and prove that it is, mental health is an issue and there are ways of solving it and to make sure that they get the proper help.
Yeah. So let's say somebody has a mental breakdown, or they have a breakdown. We won't call it a mental breakdown because we don't know yet, right?
Yeah.
So they have a breakdown. We don't want families to go to a shaman like a BOMO and trying to get treatment, you know, where they don't do anything much. Mm-hmm. Rather, we want them to be able to recognize, oh, okay, this is something that needs help from a professional, mm-hmm. let it be a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and this is the avenue that I can go to. These are the pathways that I can go to. So we want to bring away this stigmatization where you walk into a clinic and you can tell the doctor and say, I think I have a mental health issue. I think my son has a mental health issue. I think my daughter needs mental health help. So you don't hear those things working in private GPs or in hospitals, right?
Yep.
Usually they come in, they say, anak saya dah gila, mm-hmm. mak saya dah gila, kakak saya dah tak betul, you know? It's because of how we have balled it up into something that is so negative, yet at the same time, it's something that's extremely treatable if identified early. So this is the roles that we have to keep pushing for governments to play in.
Yeah, that's an interesting point where you talk about shamans and BOMOs. That's probably one way that many, you know, it's a cultural nuance that people look at mental health, but it's also, they completely rule out the clinical side of it. Or if whenever it's clinical, they just assume, like you said, you know, anak saya gila, mak saya gila. But about the taboo thing, I guess perhaps I would like to ask Farah Ann, as a, you know, an ambassador or a social media influencer, you know, being in the limelight, what do you think your role could be, as well as for other athletes as well? How do you think these influencers could actually raise more awareness when it comes to mental health?
I think that for me as an athlete, because I've had experiences with working with, and it's a wonderful experience I've had working with my psychologist throughout my training sessions, in competition, and I actively speak about it. I think that's important, to actively speak about your experiences and to have that knowledge and to give it out. Because I think when you see people, when you can relate to someone saying that, like, hey, she also goes and sees a psychologist and say, it's not wrong for me to do it. So I think it's just leading by example is very important to be able to be out there and to show vulnerability.
Yeah.
And it's nice that I think Farah mentioned that. I think the first time when we met a couple of months ago, she asked me a direct question. She said, before meeting me, did you read up about me or did you know what happened to me? Mm-hmm. And I said, I can't be too sure, like, what she meant it. And she explained what was going on. Mm-hmm. I went home, read up about it. And I said, this is exactly what we need when we want people advocating for it. People who've gone through some sort of trauma, let it be physical or mental, mm-hmm. but they are able to pick up and actually succeed even further and move on and actually become stronger than what they were before. So I think this is the key takeaway message that we need to drive in, that at times you may be bombarded because mental health issues are very wide. You know, it can be something like cyberbullying, it can be something as online social media trashing and all these other things that's happening now, I mean, especially amongst the youth. But if you are able to get access and help, so for you to get over these sort of things, then you become her, you know, you become as strong as her. So these are the things, these are the kind of messages that we want to, I guess, plant into the youth, that it's all right. You know, whatever is happening to you now, it's okay. If you seek the right pathways, you can come out stronger.
Yeah, actually adding on to that, it's actually really important that people don't think that mental health is a lot of categories, right? And you were talking about bullying, and that is actually a major thing that is in youth and with social media. Cyberbullying has increased dramatically, and people need to realize that you can be the solution or you can be the problem, and you need to see what role you need to play. And I think a lot of people think that what they put out there, it's, oh, it's just a comment, it's just something, nobody's going to care. But the person that's on the receiving end, they do feel it.
Yeah.
They are hurt. So I think people need to realize that what you do, what you say, what you put online will affect people.
Yeah, that's true. If you can't say it to someone's face, don't type it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Keyboard warriors. Yeah. Especially nowadays, you know, when there's conflicts globally, yes. You know, people take the opportunity to per se, they would, you know, say that they're fighting for a cause, but then sometimes it can end up into cyberbullying.
Yes.
But yeah, if you're listening out there, just be kind, be nice with your words, you know, because people do feel the pain. But I am going back to, you know, the raising awareness. Like a lot of people, especially in the urban areas, are more aware about mental health issues as well as to how to tackle it. You know, how to get accessible. Treatment and whatnot. But what about in the kampung areas? These people still look at mental health as a taboo. They might feel it, and then this could lead to things that are more serious, some even suicide. So how do you think you could reach more to these sectors?
Well, I'll answer that from a state perspective. So our public health initiatives, especially for next year, I've been told that we'll be going more on the community engagement. You know how they do the mobile clinics where they go into the kampongs and all those things? But those mobile clinics will now include mental health assessments, people who don't have access to smartphones, because they still are, or they have a smartphone but they don't know how to use it, or they don't know how to download the app. So that's especially important because we cannot neglect anybody just because they don't have access to what we have. So as implementing body, we should be able to bridge that gap. And in 2024, there are big things that are coming in Selangor. Obviously, I'm very biased towards that state because I'm advising them. At the same time, we've seen that initiatives that have been done in Selangor, once it's sort of like a pilot, once it's done and it's good, it actually gets replicated on a national level. And that's what we aim, so that other people will be able to just use what we have and then just replicate it and then just expand it. And especially, Saraya, like you mentioned, Orang Kampung, yes, we are coming for you, and we will get you, and we will make sure that you receive what we have actually developed for you, of course.
That's great. Now, what about the roles of families and communities? Now, we're still talking about, you know, the Kampung areas and all, but what do you think the roles of families and communities, and perhaps parents, Parenting 101, what are your thoughts on this?
I think obviously, as when we were talking in the beginning, parents actually play a pivotal role in helping the children and themselves, because actually parents and people, they also need help. And really, if they do get the help, then that really trickles down to their children. As you were saying, like access, the ability for them to actually see to help, it starts from the top. So when government's initiatives go into like the kampung areas, rural areas, and they have that access, then it will help because information then gets trickled. It may be slow. Things are never fast. It's very slow, but it's good work. And when they have that access, the abilities to see and to know that they can get help, then that will then trickle down to the children. So I think from my point of view.
And I completely agree. And I think one of the key takeaways is that we also must understand not all parents are I guess, built the same way. Yeah. Some may be better than others, some are not. So I think one of the initiatives that we've taken is also to plant or to train community mental health leaders in those kampong areas, in those communities, so that they may be a reference or they may be the person that you can refer to. Because in any cases of mental health issues, the first thing that you have to build is trust.
Yeah.
So as a person who's coming from outside, they may not be able to tell me what's going on. But if they're able to recognize, this is my community leader, this is my village head, I'll be able to open up more on things regarding this. So I think that's the key takeaway here. That's why when we want to do awareness, it's very important that it's not just a top-down approach, mm-hmm. that we get into all the levels and all the people actually included in your planning, so that whatever you want to achieve gets translated and people actually are able to, you know, get maximum benefits from whatever program you're trying to implement, and in this case, in mental health issues.
Would this be considered, you know, under social work, or would it be somewhat certified? Or because I have been speaking a lot about social work as well, and it's somehow related to mental health, to like a lot of, you know, the job itself, you need to be certified, but you also deal with people who have trauma and, you know, all of these problems. So what are your thoughts?
If you gave me a double bar and you asked me to do what she did in the Olympics, I'll probably break my neck. Or I probably even can't get myself up to the bar, right? It looks simple, right? It looks like everybody could do it. But you don't want the wrong person doing it. Yeah. You don't want to do it through the wrong techniques. That's why it's very important that we get the people who are interested and we give them the proper training, give them the proper knowledge, so that they will know their limitations. It's not about trying to tell you that now you are a mental health expert. Rather, we tell you, you are now able to recognize if you can handle this case. Mm-hmm. If you can't, you know where to send her to. It's an upper level, a higher level, because you know that you are now able to see if she suddenly says, I would like to cut myself. It's beyond your control, right? So now you need to refer it to somebody on a higher level. So mm-hmm. that is what the training is about. Mm-hmm. It's the ability to recognize what are the person's limitation in handling any kind of cases. Yeah. And that's key. Mm-hmm. That's important, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because knowledge is power. And sometimes we need help from others. And if we think that we know everything, that's very problematic, because you need experts that come in, as you were saying. Because if you want to do gymnastics, I would not recommend it, but you would lead okay, we'll go off that topic. But exactly, if you have social leaders, when you have advocates, they also need to know and to be well aware of what their limitations are, mm-hmm. and know that where to go for experts. And I think the ability for it to have a linear pathway is very easy instead, because sometimes you have social leaders are like, oh, I know this, this, and this, or you have even advocates, but they don't know everything. So to be able to say, no, hey, I think this is your case, hey, this is your case, and to be able to
delegate the work
will really help.
Mm-hmm. With about 3 minutes we have left, Dr. Farhan mentioned earlier about, you know, your story. I did read up a little bit, and you talked about vulnerability. So do you mind sharing with the viewers a little bit about your, you know, your story?
Well, for me, I think that being a public athlete, or when you compete for the country, you will always get, people will always talk about you.
Yeah.
In a sense where if you do good, people are very happy for you. If you do bad, then people will also tell you that you're doing bad. And I think sometimes that people don't realize there's a person behind the scenes. And obviously, as an athlete, when you compete for the country, I've gotten my fair share of good, good
love
comments,
and hate.
Love mm-hmm. and hate. And sometimes the hate can get very aggressive. And it did take a toll on me for some time, because I didn't think that what I was doing was good enough. And when I've given my whole and given my everything and competed for the country that I love, to not be able to reap the reward, in a sense, to be able to have all that hate, was also very difficult for me. But I found that family, friends, the proper help really did lead me back to a path and be able to help me mentally to mm-hmm. know that even though you cannot control what other people say about you, you can control yourself, you can control what you do mm-hmm. and how you help people. And that's what I had to go through, and I came out a lot stronger on the other end. So that's why now I'm very happy to be able to advocate about mental health, because people don't realize that it is a very pivotal part in me being a successful athlete or even a successful person.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you definitely took the weakness and turned it into strength.
Yeah.
So you came out stronger. What about you, Dr. Farhan? You are out of social media, but you're also a lot on the news. So yeah. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, one thing is that when I'm out of social media, I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of hatred that's outside, but I'm on top of it because I don't read it. So that's one way to go about it.
Yeah.
But I think the message that we need to spread is a message of kindness. Mm-hmm. I think there's no harm in being kind. I think it takes so much more effort to be more hurtful than just to be kind. Mm-hmm. And I think the key takeaway or the take-home message that I would like to drive today is that if everybody is kind, everybody is going to be happy. But there will, of course, be people who will try to take away those kindness and those happiness away from you. But when those things happen, please know that there are avenues and there are pathways for you to get help and for you to seek help without any sort of feeling sad or negative about it. Mm-hmm. And that what I aim to do, what my team, what Dr. Adil has always advocated and pushed so hard for is that it's okay to not be okay. Yeah, yeah, and it's all right. And I think stemming in on the youth plan here is that you guys, if you guys are listening out there, if you guys are, you know, watching, you have a problem, say it out loud. Tell the people who can help. And if you don't feel like you're doing okay, seek help. And people like us, we are here to help you. And I hope that message actually gets delivered across.
Yeah, that's a great way to end it. Perhaps people can look at mental health more like a clinical disease or something that you need a doctor or an expert to help you out with. But that's all the time that we have. Thank you so much, the both of you, for sharing your thoughts and for joining us on It's About Youth. I am Soraya Mia, and we'll see you on the next episode.